We're here at the Good Food Awards. It's January 2019, San Francisco. We have in studio with us, which is actually a big auditorium, Nico Whistler. Thanks for being on.
Thank you so much. This is so fun.
You're part of a small group of podcasts that are going to be part of next year's season. So tell us about it.
Cool. Yeah, I'm really excited. I'm launching a show with HRN called Queer the Table. It's going to focus on queer folks from all aspects of the food system. So I'm a queer farmer, and I'm really excited to talk with other farmers, but also queer folks in the restaurant industry and small business owners and food writers and so on and so forth.
Fantastic. And it's going to be a weekly show?
Yes, I think so.
Do we know the time slot yet? Anyone? For people who want to? All right.
It is.
Got it?
It's still in development.
So ask, you want to field the first?
Wait, I was going to ask you one question first.
Sorry.
Do you live in New York or are you based here in San Francisco?
I live on Orcas Island in Washington.
Wow. Okay, fantastic. Well, we are always happy to have a new host at HRN.
It's an honor.
Fantastic.
You're kicking off this audio in a great way for the main course OG.
I was about to say, we should say this is the main course OG and it's Saturday, January 12th. 2019. So our question for you, my friend, we're going to ask everyone here today. We have an obsession here at the main course with Meghan Markle and the royal family.
She's been taken a drubbing by the press out there. I feel terrible for her.
So we would like to know if you were to serve her or encourage her to serve a certain dish to sort of keep the peace or put her best foot forward with the royal family.
A single dish that represents peace, community.
What would it be?
Olive branches.
Ooh, a single dish that represents peace,
warmth,
and community and warmth.
Comfort, anything in that realm.
Or just like how to be a duchess that crosses her legs properly and, you know, brings
This one doesn't do that, but I'm thinking of sancocho, which is a Puerto Rican root vegetable kitchen sink stew. My family ate it at the end of the year, so everyone would bring over like
what you have left, what root vegetables. Clear out the fridge?
Yeah. To start the new year, it's like spicy. It's got many different kinds of meat. It's comforting. Everyone after eating it is too full to argue anymore. So it is perfect for bringing the peace, warming you up, and making you sleepy.
Well, we know the Duchess of Sussex is listening, so that's your advice from Nico Whistler. Thanks so much for being on the Main Course OG.
Thank you.
All right, and we're back. We have Nick Pallone with us, the executive chef of Outerlands here in San Francisco.
Formerly of Tosca.
And a great Heritage Foods customer. We're not biased or anything.
Thanks.
Thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. Great to be here.
So tell us about you a little bit. We're here at the Good Food Awards. It's a beautiful show, and it's like inspiring. So, inspire us with who you are, what you've done, what interests you.
Yeah. So I last came from Tosca to Outerlands, and it's been quite a shift, but a very inspiring one being out there with some very inspiring people. All really great at their craft, and being here at the Good Food Award Show, checking out these wonderful vendors, just displaying their arts, and it's lovely. There's a lot to love here. So,
have you had a favorite bite today?
I haven't. I'm looking forward to visiting a friend of mine, the Baconer. Shamelessly plug for the Baconer there, but.
Now, your Outerlands is located in a not-so-often-visited neighborhood of San Francisco, right?
Yeah,
right by
the
ocean?
Sunset. Yes, out there by the ocean. Very tranquil, but not too often visited.
And it's very successful. I mean, we were there at lunch. It was packed.
It's
the waiters and waitresses were like, it's always packed. I mean,
It's a great place.
We kind of knew a guy who got us a table, so we cut the line.
It really helps the stereotype of building San Francisco up in my mind. There's like seagulls eating, the carcasses of rats outside. You feel really connected to the sea. No, cut that out.
So, I thought you were going to say, the best pork fat you've
I don't
ever
know
had.
What they would eat on the street. I'm not from here. So we wanted to ask you, so Meghan Markle, She's been taking Duchess of Sussex. She's been taking a real beating from the press, you know, perhaps unfairly. They've accused her of being a social climber. She's like, I'm not at all. You know, Prince Harry has not responded. you know, but we're big fans of Meghan Markle and all that she's gone through. So tell us, if you had to tell her a single dish to present to the English people as a peace offering, what dish would you pick? It's like about comfort and peace and community and olive branches.
Olive branches.
A single dish that could immediately remedy,
you know,
the situation.
Would it be German, English inspired? Would it be a
it's
mix
up to
of
you.
Two? I don't know.
She's American.
Maybe some some spetzel with some sort of English cased sausage or something like that. You know, I don't know. That would give the both of like German, you know, a German.
No communities.
Meghan Markle. Angela Merkel. I'm thinking about the wrong Merkel.
Oh, Meghan Markle.
Oh,
she's the American actress who married Prince Harry. And they're pregnant. Oh, she's pregnant with her first child.
Everybody always picks a German dish as an olive branch. What's nicer than, of course, the German dish?
You know, I'm thinking of Angela Merkel, not Meghan Markle.
Markle. That's okay.
Markle, Merkel.
Well, we'll just have to get you the latest copy of People Magazine.
I'll leave it the same. I think that they would enjoy that too.
Well, the dumpling is probably the most common food in the world. Every single culture has it. There's something porridgey about it.
I don't think Patrick's had spätzle. That's not a dumpling. It looks like pasta.
It looks like a gnocchi, but it's a form of dumpling in a sauce.
Is it?
Yeah, it's a potato gnocchi.
All right, I'll defer to the chefs here.
Potato pasta. Sorry, you lose. We're going to talk about this afterwards in the green room.
Yes, no, there will be a debrief, a postmortem.
So anyway, the person before you said like this Puerto Rican inspired kind of dish. And it was both comfort food. So we know she's listening and, you know, thanks for giving her some good advice on our show.
You're welcome, Angela and Meghan.
And thanks for keeping us part of the system. You know, it's really great for us. You got to come out and visit the farms.
For sure. Thank you.
Thanks, Chef. Back at the main course OG from Good Food Mercantile, we have Allison Block here. We'd like your professional opinion as an English teacher in the 12th grade here in San Francisco.
Well, if the class turns on you and you come home to Nick and I'm like, you're like, I've lost my class. They don't listen anymore. And he was like, let me, you know, what would be the food, the olive branch, to win the class back, to be under your thumb again? You know, and you get them back. What would be the dish that you give them?
Unfortunately, I went vegan recently, so
it wouldn't
not,
be meat.
It wouldn't. Well, I think it would be something cheese-based. I'd give up the veganism to win them back over. But I think mac and
fondue,
cheese.
So fondue? Are you saying a simple fondue?
No,
mac and
cheese. Simple mac and cheese, I think, wins anyone over.
Especially the crusty part.
Food. Yes. Yes.
So anyway, you do amazing work. Can I just ask what some of the books are that you've assigned your class, senior class this year for English?
Right now it's Into the Wild, which is one of my favorite books. Chris McCandless going up and taking his trip across the United States up to Alaska. And then, unfortunately,
what were some of your favorite parts of that book? Like, why is that book poignant to you?
I think what that book inspires, I mean, kids more than, well, me when I was younger and I read it, but I think it inspires kids to live a life that is maybe on the fringes of what is considered to be conventional life or within a certain scripted existence. Like, you do this and then you go to college and then you get married and then you move here and then you do this. So it lets them know that there are other ways that one can exist outside of the conventional.
And can you burst the bubble on the classic, like every classic that people talk about, but it's really just a terrible book?
Catcher in the Rye.
Oh, Catcher in the Rye.
Terribly
wow, I can't believe you had an answer so quick.
You
might have
just burst Patrick's bubble.
And he was not very nice to women, from what I heard.
Oh, well, in real life, yes.
Yeah, well, and it's terribly written.
Oh, even the character? Oh, no. That means it's a really bad person when his characters are terrible people.
Everything's terrible. Salinger and everything.
Patrick likes to kill a mockingbird.
Oh, yeah. Well, Atticus, that is a very highly reputed play starring Jeff Daniels on Broadway.
Really?
And it's done by a famous director who has made other films with him, Aaron Sorkin.
Oh, nice.
And it is like being sponsored on my Instagram, CBS.
Didn't you just buy tickets?
It's an anti-Trump message. It's a message that's basically we have to extend olive branches. We have to put ourselves in their shoes kind of thing, and that we need that today during these difficult times. Well, anyway, thanks for being on.
Thank you.
So what was it that it was cheese? You went cheese.
I went cheese. I went mac
and cheese. She went mac and cheese. Final answer. Thanks
Final
for joining
answer.
Us,
Thank
Allison.
You.
Our next guest with us is Deborah Dickerson of Tamales Bay Foods, a very good friend of ours. Hello, Deborah.
Hello.
How's
Thanks
everything
for being
going?
On.
I can't tell you how happy I am to be here. How could you do better than this with all this phenomenal food? Filled with food and friends. It's better than a cocktail party.
The bite that blew your mind the most, just a bite that surprised you. Not necessarily the best in show, but just a bite that was like an epiphany. Do you have a story?
Elevation meets Basque. Dry cured salami.
I just tried it.
With espalette, right?
Oh my God, I'll be right back. I'm going to go.
It's get me a piece too. It's one of those that I love food that makes you stop talking. And it's a very subtle bit of espalette in the back of this perfectly ground dry cured salami. And it creeps up in you. So in the middle of your sentence, you stop and say, oh. What's that?
Patrick, Delightful. You have to keep that at the office so I don't talk anymore.
Espalette?
She just said it makes you stop talking. It quiets
we
you.
We want you to talk more.
Yeah, sure. He says that now.
So tell us, who are you, Deborah, for people who don't know your stellar reputation? How do you like to describe yourself these days?
A woman who eats lots of cheese. I have the pleasure of running the wholesale department at Tamales Bay Foods, and we sell amazing small production cheeses and charcuterie and also condiments that go, everything has to go with cheese. And then we sell our old Cowgirl Creamery.
Jesus. Which is such a historic business in this country. It's also great to see Peggy and Sue still at it every day. And
oh, man, you are
caring.
Just not kidding. I still have to run to keep up with them.
Yeah, yeah, amazing. And you have your beautiful new facility.
We do.
Felt I had gone into the future when I went there. You know, it looked so futuristic. I felt like I was in a Star Wars, video.
Well, that's because you were in the wharf where we were subterranean in the sales office in cinder blocks
exactly.
So many years. It's all relative. We're very fortunate.
So we have a very time-sensitive question for you.
I'm ready.
Meghan Markle is under assault, you know, and maybe something by the press in England. Some of it might be true, but also it's tough to be in her position. You know, she's obviously a good person. Prince Harry loves her, and she's a real rock for him. And so what would you advise her if she had to, like, cook a single dish that all English people were going to eat? Basically, the royal family was going to pay for the Duchess of Sussex
to
serve a dish.
But it does not have to be English.
Oh, yeah.
We want to clarify.
One vegetarian option, one meat option. This would be the single thing that when every English person tastes it, including the press, they will change their perception of her.
Can I just say, if I lived in England and Brexit was looming over my head, I would try to find something else to talk about, too. But to your question, I would cook an amazing macaroni and cheese.
Oh.
An amazing macaroni and cheese. And I'd serve it with a little side salad, but I'd make sure that it had incredibly well-buttered and crunchy breadcrumbs on top.
Fantastic.
Wow.
Do you have a bread purveyor of choice for that mac and cheese? A favorite here
Who
in the Bay
the
Area?
Who's the best bread here? I mean, there must be two or three that compete, but...
Oh, man.
Is it still Acme? And
Acme. We are so blessed. We have so many.
I like Firebrand, too.
Firebrand is fantastic. And there's a small bakery in my town of Petaluma that is called Della Fattoria, and they do amazing bread. So I'm very spoiled. I don't have to pick one. I can pick many.
I'm so sad Shed is closing. That was a temple to merchants. That was a cathedral,
you know.
I mean, it was almost too shiny and beautiful, but it was sad to see it go.
Not
I wish someone would have saved it with all the money going around in Silicon Valley and Seattle and Oregon.
Is someone taking it over?
I don't know the intimate details, but I do know that the building is way too beautiful and way too environmentally friendly to not be...
To utilize, yeah.
Yeah, brought okay. into something else. And they're going to continue to do mail order, so they're not gone completely.
Oh.
Well, all thanks right. for being on.
My pleasure. Nice to see you guys.
Thanks, Deborah.
Have fun.
Mm-hmm.
welcome Steven Rosenberg of Liberty Heights Fresh. Thanks for being on the Main Course OG at the Good Food Awards.
It's my pleasure.
So can you give us a little history of your career, including your work at Liberty Heights Fresh?
Oh, my. And how much
three
time?
Three minutes.
Well, you know, I was born and raised on a 400-acre fruit and vegetable farm in southwest Michigan. Okay. I have scars to prove it. I cut off my thumb in the packing house.
It looks terrible,
when I was two
everybody.
And a half. And
this is radio, not TV.
Thank
I
God.
I couldn't see you.
And
my mother couldn't stomach that.
I can think of no sexier place to be than an orchard when the fruit is ripening.
Okay.
And Red Delicious is only good for firewood. my career, I studied ag econ and went to work for a big company where I learned how not to do business. But they sent me to Salt Lake City. And in Salt Lake City, there was nothing good to eat. And I feel like I've been a part of changing that.
Were you one of the first early sustainably-minded food sources in Salt Lake City when you opened 15 years ago?
Well, my friend Peter Cole, who founded Squatters Brewery, said, Stephen, sometimes pioneers get arrowheads. We were the pioneer. We were the place where the good food movement was reborn in Salt Lake City.
And what is your business like today?
It's a challenge. People chase cheap. People are spending too much money on their prescription drugs to feed their soul with sustenance that makes them happy inside and out. And we have an opioid epidemic to prove it.
It is such an interesting, Salt Lake City holds such an interesting spot, I think, in Americans' minds. You know, it's not viewed as a pleasure area, you know, as much. And yet it's got great restaurants, and their choir is like the best, most soulful choir of all time.
I am also someone who likes to ski, and it is very well located to many ski mountains. So
Amen.
I think it is pleasurable.
Okay. It's very pleasurable.
So let's launch the question.
So we are asking everyone the same question today. We are we're big fans of Meghan Markle, the new Duchess, who is married to Prince Harry. She's currently pregnant, and she's been having some issues with the royal family. She's not everybody's favorite. So if you were to create a dish or inspire her to create a dish that would sort of, appease everyone, bring everyone together, be a peace offering of sorts, what would you
now,
advise?
As a businessman, this has to be something that can be made and served to all English people within an hour.
I think the English really need is an open-faced sandwich.
Why? They close all their sandwiches?
Everything's between two slices of bread. And they need to open it up, you know. They're too uptight.
It's like an olive branch to the world.
They need to learn they need to learn to drink things other than hard cider, you know, from Nottinghamshire.
Any particular ingredients on this open-faced sandwich?
The condiments, you know, they need a strong horseradishy mustard.
Yes.
They need a little sweet pimentone.
So a little elixir, a little spice.
A little extra virgin olive oil to get some of that Mediterranean that they all leave the country to go get. They need to bring some home.
I have a great friend in the food industry, Steve Jenkins.
Sure.
Who started
I know Jenkins.
His olive oil is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Olive oil Jones.
Out of huge.
Hey, I got to tell you that if you go 70 miles northwest of where we're sitting, you're going to get great extra virgin olive oil. It grows here. But, I would make it a vegan sandwich because I think they're plugged up with a little too much.
Cut it up.
We would
break
like,
the stream.
We would like
vegan?
A porchetta
what?
On that.
This
we would
a
like
meat.
A slice
I wouldn't do
of porchetta.
No, I would do, all kind. You know, I would do watermelon radishes and roasted cauliflower. I would make a great taco, only I'd put it between two slices or on one slice of bread, an open-faced sandwich.
It is. It's like a handout to the world, you know, for peace and understanding. Well, thanks so much for being on, Stephen. Congratulations. How many years has it been, Liberty Heights Fresh?
We're in 26.
26 years. Mazel tov.
Thank you.
I'm sure you'll hear that again in Salt Lake City. All right.
Thanks for coming to San Francisco.
Thank you. All right. right, we're back, and we have Sarah Mossbacher with us. Did I say it correctly?
That's how I've been saying her.
So it's funny. I've known Sarah for many, many years. I grew up with her sister in New York City, and I've always called you guys Mossbacher. How do I say your last name?
Oh,
sounds
well,
like they hoard moss.
If you say Mossbacher, I say Mossbacher. This is the American bastardization of my name.
Okay.
If you wanted to be more authentic, you would say something more Germanic sounding like Mossbacher.
Huh.
Or you could like cut the middle and say just Mossbacher. Some people say Mossbacher.
So was she saying it right or wrong?
You were saying it right.
I said it right. She was giving me an eye. Like I had it all wrong.
God, I wouldn't want this show to take a negative turn.
So Sarah is joining us from Republic Restoratives in D.C. Will you tell us a little bit about what that is?
Yes.
What you're doing here today?
Yes. Republic Restoratives is D.C.'s first women-owned and operated distillery. It is actually one of very few in the country. I don't want to reveal too much, but we women distillery owners just sort of officially really found each other in the past month. The wonderful women from Pomp and Whimsy made the effort to find the contact information for every female-owned distillery in the country and got us all on an email.
Wow.
And
blind copied or?
No.
No. That's a way to start a movement. You let everyone
there
know
are,
other.
I mean, there are very few of us. So small community, it was really awesome. And without saying too much more, this is going to be the year we're going to
2019.
I'm really excited. They are all getting together in person. Almost every single person is making the trip to San Francisco in, I think it's 1 or 2 weeks. Just because
wow.
There are so few of us and everyone was so excited to find each other.
Is there a trend or a theme or a trajectory that you would say unites some or most of these women-based distilleries, like in terms of flavor characteristics or how a business is run? Or do you think it's just the same?
Oh, that's a great question. Flavor, taste, production-wise, I don't know yet. And I think that's part of why it's so exciting to get together because, you know, you kind of hear like in different pockets, like, oh, hey, we're not the only women-owned distillery. But frankly, because of the distribution system, we can't get most of these people's products. Or you would have to really hunt and try to find someone to ship it to you because of blue laws. So this is, among other things, a really cool opportunity to like start being able to swap not just product, but information. And hopefully start a thing.
It's a resource network, and it sounds like you're not necessarily in competition with each other. It's this more of a collaboration.
Yeah, and I would say so from the non-production side, from like the soft side, that's totally a part of it as well, which is like the collaborative effort. I find that women are slightly more inclined to work collaboratively, to be more sympathetic to personal issues and the challenges of being a woman in business, any kind of business. Like, yes, distilling is male dominated, but like being a woman in the world, it's just a different experience.
Very nice. Well, you know, there's one woman who's really taken a beating in the press, Meghan Markle, Prince Harry's wife. You know, probably a lot of it is unfounded and just misunderstood, and you know, they don't like that she's American, you know.
Oh,
she's
yeah.
African American, right? So I mean,
and
you
an
know,
actress,
in a lot of ways,
someone who worked,
who's had
a
sex
commoner,
before,
and a gaudy American.
So if she needed to serve one dish to all English people as a peace offering, as an olive branch, as a thing that the first bite, the second it touches their mouth, they will immediately understand that she's a good person and come to love her. What would you have that dish be?
Or let me guess, do you get her drunk first? Or get them drunk
first? Oh, no, you can have an alcohol, too, which we
have
should
an
have
alcohol.
Specified. Could you get our previous guest?
Yes, we're going to bring back everybody from the previous interviews.
No, yeah, an alcohol and a thing, yes.
An alcohol and a thing. Well, I'm not sure if whether or not you want to highlight, not you personally, but if Meghan, if our friend Meghan wants to highlight
She's
her
listening.
Americanness or not. Hi, Meghan. So exciting to talk to you. I would say for a drink, you know, don't tell the bosses, but I'm partial to cider.
Okay.
And it is very, very American.
That is a thing that unites England and the U.S. is the apple.
I feel like there's a little bit of a bridge there.
Okay.
And
so would she serve it with an English apple?
A good question. I hadn't really thought about it.
I think maybe a blend, but like 90% of it is English and 10% is American.
Or maybe it's a maybe there's some cider making techniques that we could do a little mashup on. I don't know enough about making cider.
So what's the dish? or ingredient. It could be a single thing you've tasted at the Good Food Award.
Oh, that's a good
one. A single bite. Maybe it's just a bite that she
gets.
All right,
I'm going to, totally rogue on this. This has nothing to do with the Good Food Awards. I find a roast chicken to be the great equalizer and one of the most, like, heartfelt and warming emotionally things.
I think Europeans would agree with that.
And then the Very bones European. Become brodo, which is the most nourishing probably dish of all time. A little chicken stock clear
soup.
All
right, soup. Megan, cider and a roast chicken. And you really could use the cider as a marinade for that chicken.
So, Megan, just for your meat calculations, that's about a quarter-sized chicken, a quarter chicken for kids, half chicken for...
Can be purchased at heritagefoods.com.
Yes.
Frank Reese's.
So you're looking at how many inhabitants are there in England? She's probably looking at 3 million chickens. Four she needs.
If she is also hosting my husband-to-be and Republic Restorative's current distiller, it would be one chicken per person. He thinks a single chicken is one serving.
Meghan Markle hates you. She's like, couldn't she have said chicken salad? That's just a little...
That's the beautiful thing about a chicken. It can become so many things.
I love chicken
salad. I also
salad.
Think there's something really humanizing about eating things off of bone with other people. It's messy and...
Well, thanks for being romantic. On. That's a great answer.
Oh, thanks, nice Sarah. We hope to see you soon in New York.
Bye.
Bye.
So we're back at the Main Course OG broadcasting live, which won't be live after you listen to it probably, but at the Good Food Awards. We are here with Laura De Oliveira.
De Oliveira.
All right, De Oliveira. So you're involved with Good Food. So I posted a very well-renowned at this point, I think it's safe to say, Instagram, that said the most terrifying, it shows a picture of a shark, basically a metal shark with all these sharp edges. And I wrote, most terrifying Good Food Nation Award, the fish category, sharp. Because it was terrifying. Like, they were like, everyone, I was like, they're going to bleed, like it's gonna,
they're very,
you know,
sharp.
It's like a, so
very sharp metals.
I wake
sharper
up,
than the cleaver.
Yeah. I wake up to this comment. That metal could definitely be used as a shiv in a precarious situation. And I later found out that was you who
yes.
responded that. So what's your role at Good Food?
I am
besides
the
Instagram response.
besides smartass, I am the community manager, so I work with all the crafters. I have a really fond appreciation. I graduated from the CIA. I went to the University of Gastronomic Sciences in Bra, Italy last year. So I have a really big passion for producers, obviously, creating tasty, authentic, responsible food. And so I help curate, I help all the crafters try to have an enjoyable show, an enjoyable experience at the Good
Meaning
Food Awards.
Meaning the hotels and the planes, or
yes.
meaning the arena?
Anything. I mean, whether or not how they set up their booth, any questions about showing at the Mercantile, what they should expect at the ceremony, what should they bring, how much quantity. So anything that they really need to feel comfortable and enjoy the weekend.
When all is said and done, this is a hard question. How many people does Good Food Nation have like a meaningful relationship with, either a business one or their award winner or anything, like in a year?
So the foundation, you're saying, outside of the awards as a whole?
The immediate family of the Good Food Awards, 7, 8, 10,000 people probably. All the little farms, not everyone comes, but they get the award,
yeah.
the workers,
it's actually,
the building people.
It's one of the things that's really hard to say, because we are a not-for-profit and a lot of our stuff is done bootstrap. And we try it because obviously we really want to make the experience affordable. And that's why a lot of people come here rather than fancy food, because it's more of an intimate setting. It's to actually allow producers that are small to participate. And so we don't have a lot of data or statistics. Sarah Wiener,
let's
obviously.
Let's just say a million.
Let's say a million.
Okay. So we have one question for you.
We have a very important question for you today.
Okay.
We are big fans of Meghan Markle. who's married to Prince
Harry. Duchess of Sussex.
I mean, when you say her, you have to say the Duchess. Yes.
Oh, I must call her the Duchess.
No.
How dare you?
Just based on her name alone, I don't know who she is. But then when
she is a former actress. I used to watch her on the show Suits on USA. I was a fan.
Yes.
And now she is married to Prince Harry and pregnant with their first child.
Twins.
Is it twins?
Yes.
Oh. Patrick is a big fan of gossip magazines. He reads them on the plane. Don't tell him I told you.
But
anyway,
it's not all pleasant out there in Camelot.
She's been receiving a lot of pushback, you know, sort of from the press and from the royal family, it seems. We are asking everyone if you were to encourage her or inspire her or suggest, what dish would you tell her to create that would bring everyone together? It would be a peace offering of
sorts.
Every
English person would eat this
strong
dish
for
at the
community.
Same time. Even accounting for daylight savings and time zones.
I have one answer, and I would just suggest that she bring a really nice, maybe like Long Meadow Ranch olive oil, and tell them to apply that to their body and lubricate themselves with it, and eat away.
Wow.
Yes.
Best answer.
That just beat mac and cheese by a lot. I like that. There's also, you have here at the Good Food Nations, a hemp oil lady based out of Long Island City.
Yes.
And she says it's great for skin care
as well.
Well,
maybe that one.
Didn't you notice Patrick's really shiny right now?
Oh, did you put it on your face?
I actually, a little bit excretes right here behind my ear, and so you might see something
maybe
dripping.
It'll actually glow down there, so it'll be a really good, the hemp oil.
Well, thanks so much for being on, and we hope, wish you great success. This is a great event.
Thank you very much.
Thanks,
Laura.
So we're here with Madeline Thies, who is part of the Good Food Foundation, and you said that you were doing community outreach.
Yeah, outreach and communications, yeah.
Awesome. Well, thanks for joining us. Tell us a little bit about your experience so far this weekend and putting on a show like this.
It's been a lot of fun. We spent a lot of time planning it, and so to see it all come together has been a really great experience, and it's all gone really well and been a lot of fun, so yeah.
Tell us something stressful that happened.
Someone's chocolate was melting because they were in the sun, and so we moved them into another location and
called it a deep freezer.
Yeah.
And tried to bring it back to life.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe they would develop a new product. Hot chocolate.
Yeah.
So, is that your full-time job, Good Food Nations?
Yes.
And
yeah.
You live in Portland or in San Francisco? Because Sarah recently moved to Portland, right?
Oh, yeah. The rest of the team is still here in San Francisco.
Where's the office? Is there an
it's
office?
It's in Fort Mason.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, yeah. So we have a pretty
Where this
view.
Event used to be, although I quite like this new venue at the Metreon.
Yes. Yeah,
it's
yeah.
It's cold and robotic and futuristic, but super professional. You know, it's not like in a barn or something. This is like
True.
A nice event
True.
Center. It means
yeah.
you've reached the big time.
Well, we will be at Fort Mason tomorrow, though. So.
Well, you're not the only one to reach the big time. Meghan Markle has also ascended the social ladder, really, of the world, but certainly of England. And she's taking a beating from the press. I mean, they are really being tough on her. You know, we who love her think it's a little bit because she's an American, a strong woman, you know. So we were going to ask you, if you could create a dish for her, you were like her social coordinator, and this dish would, she would eat it with the family, but also all English people would be given a free main course or appetizer or dessert, whatever, from the royal family, and they would all eat it together, and that this dish that she creates is supposed to mend fences and breed love and community, which are themes of the Good Food Nation.
What would it be? Go with the Stonecutter Gin and the Vicario Tarragon liqueur and make a cocktail, and everyone can enjoy it together.
Get them drunk. There, finally someone said it.
Looking at the Stonecutter booth right now. I think I'm going to beeline for that as soon
as
we...
Smart. You're the first person that just named the liquor. You did not start with anything.
I think it's wise.
And food?
Meghan is pregnant. She wouldn't be able to enjoy it, but everyone else would be drunk.
Food? Oh, no, that's all.
That's what
it would be. Yeah.
It's going to be some people showing up late for work the next day. That's
yeah,
for sure.
Totally.
Well, thank you so much, Madeline, for joining us.
Thank you.
We're so happy to have you on, Daniel Sklar.
I'm so happy to be here as Daniel Sklar.
Yes.
Fine and raw. You are our neighbor in Bushwick on Siegel Street, and yes. We love seeing you here in San Francisco.
You make some of the country's most interesting chocolates. I think we saw your chocolate at a couple places, the Byrights
yesterday.
We saw both of them.
Yes. The famous Byrights.
How do you ship chocolate? Just with ice packs or dry ice?
So in the winter, no problems. You just ship it regular, and then in the summer, do insulation and ice packs.
Insulation, do you lose business in the summer because people are nervous to take full cases from you, FedEx?
No. Summer, we have other problems. Everyone's trying to get their, like, beach bodies on, so they frown on chocolate. And then as soon as the weather gets cold, then the emotion turns completely and they need comfort and chocolate. Like, although our chocolate, people who eat our chocolate are pretty regular throughout the whole year because it's more of a lifestyle chocolate. It's not.
Can you give us, in this backdrop of Good Food Awards, a state of the American chocolate industry in, like, under a minute? Like, where does it stand? Is it strong? Is it weak? Who dominates it?
But firstly, I like this under a minute thing. I like the whole boomerang thing and the whole, Instagram, I only have 30 seconds worthy of intelligence to share, which right. probably...
Thanks for being on, Daniel. You're out of time.
So the American chocolate, the craft chocolate market
exploded. Just observations
exploded.
That you
so many people, very experimental. But the chocolate is art, so I think there's a big divide between hobbyists and artists, and but right now the market's being bombarded by both. So you just have to figure out who are the artists and who are the hobbyists.
Is that shown really by kind of who lasts?
Is it who's on
the shelves for more than, six months?
Yeah.
What is it, machinery, ingredients? What is it?
Je ne sais quoi.
I see.
Yeah.
Savoir faire.
Secret sauce.
Tetoir. Secret tetoir.
Yeah. It's everything, you know. Sourcing... relationships to your farmers, your techniques, the flavor development, the conching, the roasting, the recipe formulation, the heart, the passion, the blood, the sweat, the tears.
I asked my friend Renato, I was like, he studied with all the great pasta makers of Italy. I'm like, can you define that a little essence? And he thought about it for a second and said, but sometimes if you thought it was a little dry, it opened the window a little bit and the front door just so there could be a little airflow. And I'm like, that's good. That's a nugget of it. Well, we're so happy. We have a current event question to ask you, Emily.
Yes.
Oh.
We would like to know, are you familiar with Meghan Markle? She's married to Prince Harry.
Oh, yes.
They live in England. She's pregnant.
Yeah. She's listening.
She's also called the Duchess of...
Duchess of Essex. How dare you call her a Duchess?
No, that's slush.
We have to edit that out. We could lose our license for that word.
Sussex. Anyway.
I got you back. Don't worry.
She's been getting some flack in the press recently, and we are asking everyone, if you were to tell her or advise her as to what dish... or what bite, or what drink, or what chocolate, as you wish, to make, to sort of appease the masses.
Yes. She would be serving this to every English person. So every English person
to every English person?
At the dinner, you know, something.
It might be high-level English people. But anyway, what would you tell her to serve to sort of extend an olive branch?
To British people? I feel like it should be something with like a soccer logo on it because British people don't really care about food as much as soccer.
Thinking design, packaging.
Yeah.
So
I like it.
Your new chocolate bar is going to have a soccer ball on it?
Oh, yeah. No,
or
completely.
A player?
What food would it be? A tiara. What food would it be? What can you shape into a soccer ball that says peace, community, olive branch, love, understanding, patience, diversity?
Wow. Okay, how about... I mean, if we're going to, you know, I think she needs to wow the crowds as well. So let's just go back to the pasta maker and have a formed pasta, like a pasta chocolate emulsion that you can form into a soccer ball.
Pop it in your mouth?
Although that might send the wrong message because then the pasta could be viewed as too Italian and then she'll open up a whole new can of worms. And I don't know, maybe like bangers and mash. Emulsion formed into a soccer ball.
That's all right. Nice. I like this.
And you heard it here. Watch People Magazine.
From 1 to 10, this. I would give that answer a goal.
go.
Thanks for being on, Daniel.
Thank you, Daniel Sklar, for being with us.
Pleasure. Thanks.
Thanks. This would not be an official trip to San Francisco without Patrick and Emily of the Main Course traveling with Cesare Casella. Cesare, welcome.
Grazie.
We're a big fan. Of people, like, if you could judge how much tetwar someone has, it's like coming out of your nose. You're like runny nose tetwar. You know how to do so many things. You know so much about the seasons, about culture in general, you know? I mean, really one of a kind. Cesare Casella, thanks for being on.
Why you say that? Because I've been nose?
No. Oh, stop.
I thought you were going to say there's rosemary coming out of his big Italian nose.
So, Cesare, I look forward to asking this question. We've been asking everybody, what is a dish that says peace and community and culture and nourishment? A single dish and a single bite. We've asked, it's like if the teacher was fighting with her students, what would she serve? If Meghan Markle was fighting with the English people, what would be the dish she served? So what would be the dish for the world?
Beans and oil.
Beans and oil.
Because the beans is a piece, how they growing, how you harvest. The oil is a, think of the olive tree, think of the olive, how much is a piece. If you want to symbolize the piece, you see the branch, the olive.
How beautiful. I'll tell you, you know how you know Cesare is a great guy? Kat, I you're working behind the scenes. Thanks for doing this. For you two, for posterity, we said a plate, a dish, or an ingredient. And he answered one for both, basically. He went ingredient.
That's
beans,
very.
And oil.
I mean, that's very Tuscan of
it
you.
It shows subversive, you know. You don't need a big complicated dish. You need a single thing bathed with a touch
what
of olive.
What is the quote from Leonardo da Vinci at the end of your email? Simplicity is the, isn't it? Isn't that the quote?
Ultimate sophistication.
Simplicity is the ultimate sophistication.
Fantastic. And we love Carlo's one, identity like taste has no quality unless there's difference or something like that. So
I have one important thing to add before we sign off the show from the Mercantile. Cesare Casella is one of the first wave of HRN Hall of Fame inductees. Congratulations.
Top 500.
Thank you.
So he was officially nominated and inducted, I believe, just the other day.
I keep the letter in my heart, in my left side.
It's
Kat, that
left
would be really funny. For the 15th, we could look back at the 10th Hall of Fame, and we're like, coming in at 186, Cesare Casella. Born in Tuscany, his mother didn't think much of him, but he had a spark in his eye, and he learned the craft of gastronomy, moved to America, won a Michelin star. Cesare Casella, number 168.
Now makes prosciutto, and his face is on the side of the box. Anyway,
ciao.
Cesare, thank you for traveling with us as always. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.